We often talk about the continued need to make changes and make efforts in our lives and moving forward. We talk a lot about change, how we need to see different results being produced in our lives. But I wonder how seriously do we apply the things that we know we should be doing. I wonder how often we look at our lives and reflect on these things. You know, for things, for circumstances to change, human attitudes, opinions, and habits have to change. If you look at Matthew 25, you find the parable there of the 10 virgins. Now, these were all called. They were all told to prepare, to get ready. And then a time passed, and they fell asleep. And while they were sleeping, the knock came at the door saying, "All right, get ready. Now is the time. We're going out. This is it." So they all arose. They trimmed their lamps. And only five found that they were ready. They had enough oil to make it in the middle of the night to go where they needed to go. You know, the other five lacked what they needed. They needed to be able to see where they were walking in the dark. But they didn't have enough oil. So they tried to get some from the other five who did. And the five who had enough realized that they only had enough for themselves. And so they said, "No, you go and go find oil." And so they did. They left. And they came back. "We have oil. We're ready to do this." They knocked on the door. "It's too late," came the answer. "It's too late. You had your chance. You had the opportunity." You know, they lacked the willingness to pay the pain of earlier discipline. But now they had to pay the heavier pain of the regret of being left out. This should really cause room for thought for us. You know, have we done everything which is required? Or are we continuing to fool ourselves through the temporary aesthetic of conversation and pretense, of telling ourselves we have worked when indeed we haven't? You can think about it this way. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 6, says, "The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops." Now, if you were a farmer, you went to a field, you looked around, and you said, "Where's the crops? Where are they? Shouldn't this is ground, it should have crops. And there's nothing there." Well, obviously, right? It's not a natural thing for crops just to spring up out of the ground. It takes hard work. It takes dedication to be granted a crop. And you know, sometimes even being granted a crop isn't a given. It takes an investment. It takes learning, being willing to learn from your mistakes, from others' mistakes, being willing to be humble, to be meek, putting others' needs before yours, maybe willing to be right and yet willing to say, "No, it's not worth being right. I'd rather have peace." Maybe it's learning a new skill, maybe through reading a book or gaining knowledge in some way. The Bible is full of these instructions. Let's look at Proverbs 16. We'll read in verse 1. Proverbs 16, and beginning verse 1, says, "The preparation of the heart belongs to a man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. The Lord has made all for himself, yes, even the wicked, for the day of doom. Everyone proud in heart and is an abomination to the Lord. Though they join forces, no one or none will go unpunished." Continuing in verse 6 to 9, "In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity, and by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than a vast revenue without justice. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." And verse 16, "How much better to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver." So we see wisdom exceeds riches. It exceeds everything that we can acquire in a human realm. Because wisdom is really knowledge in action. You know, there's no end to true knowledge and godly wisdom. The Bible shows us the way in which we can excel, where we can grow, where we can continue. And it's not just the Bible. I mean, there's, if you read anything, pick up a book on humans, on life, on anything. I mean, you name it. There's wisdom there, but of course it takes godly understanding to decipher. Let's also look at Proverbs 1 and verses 1 to 7. Proverbs 1 and beginning of verse 1, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb, an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Now, it takes time. It takes investment in yourself, in your thoughts, to become knowledgeable, to understand how to apply knowledge. You know, investing your time in worthy projects is a great thing. So if I may ask, where did we work this week? Where did we work in investing our time? Did we find time to read the Bible, to read God's wisdom, his instructions? Or were we too busy in doing other things that we found important that we couldn't find the time to? What are we busy doing? What are we preparing for? An old proverb goes, those who fail to plan, plan to fail. So we see that it's very important. But preparation, while it is extremely important and useful in our lives, it's not the end all. You know, if you constantly prepare things, you're working towards them, you fool yourself into just looking busy, but you never execute anything. You never actually accomplish that's what you're going for. So you end up only fooling yourself. You end up robbing yourself. So it takes consistency, continual effort. Look at Joshua 1 and verse 8. Joshua 1 and verse 8. This is God speaking to Joshua, and he says, "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." See, it's constant thought on God's law, on his ways, on how we can live as Christians. It says that's what's going to give us good success. Galatians 6 and verse 9 says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." It's hard as a human being to continue on. It is. It's a challenge. It's a challenge to constantly have a good attitude no matter what goes on. I know. My car's in the shop right at this moment. That happened yesterday. I got a little bit frustrated. I did. And then I started thinking about, okay, well, here you are writing this sermonette. It's, you know, mostly written. So what are you going to do? What attitude are you going to choose? You know, Daniel's approach in Daniel 6 and verse 10, when he found out that it was now the rule of the land that he could no longer pray to God, what does it say that he did? It says that he went up into his room three times that day, and he did what he knew he needed to do. He kept praying. He did it consistently, even though it was against these rules. And he paid the consequence, right? He ended up in a den of lions. But God saved him in that instance. Hebrews 10 and verse 23 says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." You know, we all go through issues, through problems, through trials, through hard times, through tough things. We find ourselves doubting at times, maybe tearing our own selves down from self-doubt. But we have to remember that we have to go through these tough times, because it's these things only that will help build us up, that will help us realize who we are, what we need, how we can actually continue moving forward. James 1 and verse 4 says, "But let patience," that is steadfastness or consistency, "have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." You know, that is how we should be viewing our lives, our calling, our effect on people in this world. In Matthew 7 and verse 24 to 27, Christ gives a parable about those who build on the rock. Matthew 7, 24. "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, because it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, they will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. We read these scriptures. We know that they're there. But do we live them? And back to a farmer analogy. You know, you can't take a mild approach to weeds in your garden. You have to hate the weeds enough to kill them. Weeds aren't something you handle. Weeds are something you have to devastate. You have to eradicate them fully. Otherwise, they take over your crop. If you've ever grown a garden, it's easy enough to see. I got a weed garden full of weeds at home. It's hard to tell the difference between the weeds and the good stuff right now because everything's little, but it's growing so fast. You know, when we fully decide that we're going to make a change, that we're going to do everything in our power to succeed, to make our calling and election sure, then our shoulds become our musts. It becomes our driving force. It becomes our seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.